Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Stephanie.
And this is Jahaira. And welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Jahaira, I think I called you Jasmine in one of the other episodes.
Oh my goodness, the whole like name scandal of mine.
Explain.
Okay, so disclaimer, my name is Jahaira Jasmine, so you know, Jasmine in English, so I do get called both Jahaira and Jazz, but I think Steph, I think you call me Jazz.
Yeah, I do,
but I don't know, I just introduced myself as Jahaira, so you guys don't worry about it.
Yeah, so
it's me.
I might call you Jahaira or Jazz.
I'm only depends. Jazz on the weekends. No, just kidding. Like, just so you all know, since we're all friends here, both Jahaira and Jasmine are my name, so it's me. I'm the same person.
Okay.
Just a quick little disclaimer in there.
Yeah. You know, it had to be addressed.
It had to be addressed. There's not a third host. So, yeah.
All right. So, as always, we will talk about sensitive topics. Queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And in this specific case, we will be talking about murder and also like the dangers of online dating. En este episodio específicamente vamos a hablar del asesinato y también del peligro que existe por las citas de internet.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. And we really just want to get the word out.
Yes, and also this episode does leave questions about whether or not the police did enough in this case. Queremos contar estos casos reales para, you know, que nuestra comunidad se pueda defender y pedir ayuda por si en un día se encuentran en una situación como la que vamos a hablar hoy.
Este episodio nos enseña cómo una familia insiste a las autoridades para que les den la importancia que se merecen. Y también enseña cómo una familia toma el control en la investigación por la falta de atención y recursos. Este es otro caso que nos deja con preguntas sobre si la policía hace lo suficiente en todo tipo de casos, sin importar de la edad, color de piel o de bajos recursos.
So please leave your thoughts in our comment section on our Instagram page. Pueden dejar sus comentarios en la sección de comentarios en nuestra página de internet en Instagram, which is just at Cuento Crimen Podcast. You guys are always invited to visit our page. And so now let's begin today's case.
Today, we will be talking about the case of 22-year-old Marty McMillan.
Like, reading his story and his case, it was so easy for, I don't know, I feel like for us to relate to him because he was just around our age. I think he was just like, what, 2 years younger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you do the math. But yeah, Marty McMillan era un joven de solo 22 años de Landover, Maryland. And just like for reference, because we're not familiar with it, so some of our viewers might not be either, but esta ciudad está aproximadamente 9 millas de distancia de la capital, Washington, D.C. Se hacen como unos 13 minutos, I think, we like read, entre las dos ciudades. So yeah, so we just kind of like wanted to put that in reference of where Landover, Maryland is. And then also like from this case, we just want to state a side note that this episode shows that not all victims of crime are women. It can happen to men too. And I feel like it's so easy for us to always, you know, kind of like disregard the idea of men being endangered. But of course, you know, men just like anyone else should also be careful. And that goes both like in general or when it comes to online dating.
No, yeah, and online dating is dangerous for everyone, not just women, regardless of sexuality or gender.
Yeah.
Marty era un jovencito, a young black man that was getting his life together. He was young and figuring things out, finding his true calling, just like most early 20-year-olds are doing.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, you're in your 20s, and I feel like that's the time to, like, start figuring out the next steps in life. But yeah, Marty had just gotten a new job as an electrician. And his grandmother, Floresa Cook, had just bought him a 2003 Volkswagen. So, you know, like, nuevo trabajo y nuevo coche. Le empezaba a ir bien. You know, he was getting it. Y él estaba muy emocionado por sus nuevas oportunidades.
Yeah, like, super excited. New job and a new car. You know, like, things were lining up for him. Por fin se estaba sintiendo bien con sus logros. Él estaba viviendo con su abuelita y llevaba una vida muy calmada. And it wasn't until April 22, 2017, cuando fue la última vez que su abuelita lo vio. Marty le dijo a su abuelita que iba a ir con una muchacha que conoció por el internet y que ahora la iba a conocer en persona.
Hoy en día usamos mucho el internet. Y, you know, we're not gonna lie, it's muy divertido. You can do a lot of things online. And online dating is definitely something that has become somewhat of a norm to our new generation. Like, I remember, when was it? Like, I think when we were both in college stuff that, like, the whole idea of Tinder came to be. And we're like, oh my god, like, why would somebody want to do that? You know, and it's like, now literally, like, everyone knows about Tinder or like other online.
It's normal.
Yeah, it's normal. And so, you know, yeah, like muchas personas tienen buenas intenciones, you know, buscan amistad o noviazgo. And a lot of the times, like, you know, we do hear how like it's just online dating, like it's harmless. Pero también, like, la realidad es que el internet puede ser muy peligroso.
Online dating is fun and a great place to meet new people. But it is dangerous. It can be dangerous. If someone does choose to online date, hay varias cosas que pueden hacer para estar un poco más seguros.
Yeah, such things as like sharing locations with a friend, meeting in a public place, or like sharing the profile of the person with a friend. You know, compartir tu ubicación con un amigo, reunirse con esta persona en un lugar público, you know, cosas así para que uno se siente seguro. Because it's like you are meeting someone that you don't know. You just know the face, you know? So I think it's just like important just that someone in your life knows your whereabouts or who you're meeting.
Yeah, es muy fácil decir que a uno no le pasa esas cosas, but en realidad no se sabe. And an online dating profile is customizable. Puede ser real, yeah, pero también puede ser una mentira o hasta catfishing. El catfishing es cuando la persona en la foto no se ve realmente como se ve en persona. And that's easy to do nowadays. Pueden usar una foto completamente falsa o, you know, they can also use filters. So this profile... So this profile is really all you have of this person. And it's crazy to think how much false information we believe when it comes to the internet. So, you know, you have to, you know, be careful and, you know, do these things just to feel safer.
Like a little extra alert on everything. And like, I don't know, like the whole idea of catfishing is so scary to me. Like not just from like the physical aspect of like somebody not being who their profile picture says they are, but like also like... I don't know, like, you know,
I feel like, yeah, I feel like the intentions, like,
yeah,
why?
Exactly. Why? Like, caras vemos, corazones no sabemos, you know, and I think that one's, like, a little scarier.
Yeah. It's like, if it's a filter, you know, like,
I guess, I can see past it.
Yeah, like, not much of a big deal, but if it's, like, a different person, like, you know, there has to be not good intentions behind
that. Yeah, definitely, you know? A little suspicious there. But, you know, like, I do want to say, though, like, I personally have been on online dates, and I'm not going to lie, like, it can be interesting, but I will say that I always share my location with you, Steph, and, like, I share it to, like, what, like, three other of our friends, too, and, I mean, for me, it's always turned out fine, you know, but, like, en veces, muchas de estas historias terminan muy tristes, como el caso de hoy, and so, like, going back to Marty's story, era viernes y Marty le tocó trabajar todo el día. So, you know, by the end of the day, he was tired, exhausted, and, you know, he needed a distraction. I feel like, yeah, like, you know, most 20-year-olds need at the end of the week. Y en la tarde, cuando llegó a la casa, he told his grandma he was going on a date.
Su abuelita, en una interview, dijo que le alegró que iba a salir a una cita con una muchacha. She said that he was working hard all day, and so he deserved to go out and have a good time.
So Marty was excited, you know, to get out of his routine, and he got ready for his date, and he left that Friday afternoon. What was meant to be a normal date, though, had a very different fate. Nunca regresó a casa. At first, his grandma said she didn't think too much of it. Pensó que a lo mejor él se había quedado en casa de la muchacha. You know, maybe they, you know, like, they hit it off. And so, why not spend some extra hours together?
Yeah. I mean, he was 22 years old. Yeah. So, I would say it would be pretty normal that the grandma would think that. Pero después, al siguiente día, todavía no regresaba. Ya se estaba haciendo tarde y la abuelita de Marty no tenía noticias de él.
She mentioned in like an interview that weekend there was actually really bad rain too. And so she was starting to worry that something had happened to him. Las calles estaban resbalosas y ya se le hacía mucho tiempo sin saber de Marty. Pasaba hora tras hora y él no regresaba.
And we've said this before, but it's always different with adults because, you know, we do have choices and control mm-hmm. over our lives. And Marty ya era adulto, entonces no luego supieron que estaba desaparecido. La abuelita pensó que se había quedado a dormir con esa muchacha y también pensó que estaba trabajando mm-hmm. o que se fue con su papá. Como ya era adulto, había muchas posibilidades de dónde estaba.
Yeah, because it's like you said, like, hey, nosotros tenemos control, so mm-hmm. we can just kind of go from point A to point B as we wish, you know? Mm-hmm. Y cuando se trata de adultos, la misma familia también tarda en darse cuenta, you know, por lo mismo que, like, a person can travel, like, they're free to go wherever they wish. Y también la policía también dura más en tomar el caso en serio, because en veces piensan que nomás por ser adultos, se fueron por un tiempo, you know, like a little getaway from work, problemas, or, you know, just running away from, you know, from responsibilities, I guess, you know. So they like to give some time. But y'all already know that you gotta be persistent in order for the police to pay attention and start working.
And not only that, you especially have to push for those cases involving minorities.
Mm-hmm.
No solo eso, pero también tienen que empujar a la policía por los casos que involucran a la gente de color.
Yeah, the police definitely has funding, you know, for situations like this. And it kind of seems like they do place resources where they want. Most of the time, these cases are last on their priority list. And we mostly see and hear the excuse of how the person probably left voluntarily, which really sucks because the time is always ticking. Marty was last seen on April 22nd, 2017, and he was reported missing April 28, 2017.
So it took them 6 days to report Marty missing. 6 days is a long time in missing person cases. From the start, la abuelita sintió que la policía no estaba haciendo lo suficiente para encontrar a su nieto Marty, porque ella y su familia conocían a Marty. Y ellos decían que él no era capaz de irse sin decir nada, sin llamar y dejarlos sin respuestas. But as we mentioned, la policía makes their own assumptions and they didn't think it was a missing case.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to them because Marty was getting his life together and like we said, things were looking good for him, you know? He had just got a new job, a new car. So if you really put one and two together, like Marty had no reason to leave.
Yeah, Marty's family felt like the police were not working on his case. So, you know, they did the next best thing and took matters into their own hands and went around town on searches themselves. It wasn't until May 4th, after some driving around, his grandmother, Florisha Cook, found Marty's car.
It's extremely upsetting that family members of a missing person feel like the police aren't doing enough. Like, imagínate la desesperación en primer lugar que sienten porque no saben de su querido. And now on top of that, like, they have to, like, fight. Not fight, but, like, prove to the police why it's, like, take my case serious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I can just, I don't know, like, imagínense que la familia se quedara con las manos cruzados y nomás esperar a la policía. ¿Como cuántos días más tenían que esperar para que la policía dijera, oh, sí, sí está desaparecido y no de unas vacaciones como pensábamos? So I'm really glad that the family did take initiative. Y gracias a la familia, encontraron el carro de Marty. Y con eso, agarraron la atención de la policía.
Yeah, I agree. It's so crazy and unfortunate that the family, on top of, like, having to worry, like, yeah, they also like the have to, like, fight, really. Yeah. Like, yeah. So I feel like by talking about it and spreading awareness, we are holding the system accountable.
Yes, like, remember, it is our duty to hold these systems accountable. Because, I mean, trust me, there's still some, like, some little cracks in them that need to be fixed.
Yeah, exactly. So now that Marty's family had located his car, and then Marty's mom started looking into his belongings, and they were able to track down this internet date and found out that he was using the app Plenty of Fish. También la mamá vio que la última llamada que hizo fue a una mujer que se llama Shania. And that's all they knew at that point.
That's like, I don't know, kind of scary that all you have is a name.
Yeah, a name and no face.
And no face. Like, who is this person? But yeah, so then with the police jumping in, they were able to find out more about her, which is great. Y pudieron averiguar más. Cuando hablaron con Shania Davis, ella dijo que ya no tenía el celular que ella usó para hablar con Marty. Y les dijo que ella sí iba a reunirse con él, pero que al final nunca se realizó esa cita. No one, you know, could really confirm this in, like, right off the bat, right? Because it's like kind of like her word against yours type of thing. Pero una cosa era segura. Marty todavía no aparecía. And suspicious enough, after this interview with Shania Davis, the family of Shania reported her missing. Pero a los pocos días, ella apareció, and it was like everything kind of went back to normal for her and her family.
Yeah, and from here, Shania became a suspect. Y cuando la policía empezó a investigar, parecía que Marty no nomás se miró con Shania, sino también con el novio de Shania, que se llama John McRae. Y también con Wallace Rayshon, el vecino de los dos. Wallace had a court-ordered GPS monitor, y así supieron que él estaba en la misma locación que el carro de Marty en los días abril 28 y mayo 2. Because there were a couple sightings of the car being used, and so they were able to track down the car and Wallace being in the same location.
It's honestly amazing how, like, quickly a lead can unfold, right? Like, I feel like we were just, like, saying, like, Shania, and that's all we had. And now, all of a sudden, like, they're able to find the people that were totally involved mm-hmm. with whatever happened to Marty that night, you know?
Yeah, any lead is important because it could potentially be the one police were looking for.
Mm-hmm. La policía encontró huellas adentro y afuera del carro de Marty, y las huellas le pertenecían a Wallace.
On June 29th, 2017, the police did an apartment search. The apartment was leased by Shania Davis and her boyfriend, John McRae. También revisaron el apartamento de su vecino, Wallace Rayshon.
No encontraron nada en los apartamentos que podía indicar algo sobre Marty, but they did find, you know, like cash, drugs, and a lot of firearms. But they did have a cadaver dog on the search, and the dog went straight to a blanket that was stuffed under a bed. But that was about it. The blanket was not leading to answers. Y también encontraron el celular que Shania había dicho que perdió. But again, none of these were considered, quote-unquote, hard evidence.
They were eventually arrested for having drugs and firearms. Sí fueron arrestados por tener drogas y armas, pero nada conectado a Marty. But still, there were no leads they could go off of. They started to investigate further into the blanket, since that was all they really had.
Yeah, the blanket, I feel like, kind of stuck out to me, because, like, the fact that it was under a bed, and then, like, the dog went straight for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like something concrete, but it's just like a little like, you know? Mm-hmm. But 8 months later, on October 30th, body remains were found in a wooden area of Prince George's County. The body remains were wrapped in a blanket y no tenía ropa. Pero no podían decir si era Marty o no luego. Tenían que hacer exámenes para averiguar de quién eran esos restos.
finding these remains kind of shook the case a bit because John McRae, el novio de Shania, empezó a cooperar con la policía y les dijo que él había mirado a su vecino Wallace Rayshon manejando un coche muy similar al que manejaba Marty. Y también les dijo que su novia Shania Davis tenía fama y era reconocida en el área por hacer citas por internet para poder robarles a los muchachos.
Y meses después, on December 21st, Shania confesó que había mentido y que ella sí conoció a Marty esa noche. Y que mintió porque ella tenía miedo que John la lastimara a ella o a su familia. And she went straight to pointing fingers. She said that John had came home early that day to their apartment on the morning of April 23rd. And that was when he killed Marty.
Shania confesó que ella estaba en una relación con John McRae, pero ella invitó a Marty a su apartamento para tener relaciones íntimas.
Ese era el plan de Shania, pero como John salió temprano de su trabajo, él llegó pronto a su casa, and Shania was definitely not expecting him, which was the main reason why Marty was over. Marty alcanzó a esconderse en el closet, pero John se dio cuenta que había otro hombre allí, y es cuando empezó a disparar.
Allí es cuando John mató a Marty. Y después Shania confesó que John y su hermano movieron el cuerpo y limpiaron. Por eso fue que la policía no encontró nada cuando revisaron el apartamento.
Yeah, they had already cleaned up the whole place. Mm-hmm. But going back to the blanket, there was a reason then why the dog sniffed it out, you know? Because Marty was there. Like, some of his scent had to leave.
Be left behind.
Left behind. Y pues sí confirmaron que los restos que encontraron eran de Marty. They now started investigating this case as a homicide y transfirieron el caso a homicidio. They believed that he was killed in the apartment of Shania Davis y tenían sospechos que los responsables eran los tres, Shania Davis, John McRae, and Wallace.
Cuando examinaron el cuerpo, they learned that Marty was shot several times in the torso. From the earlier apartment search, they were able to match their bullets with the ones that Marty was shot with. Marty McMillan murió de 22 años. Le quitaron la oportunidad de vivir su vida.
De haber hecho también muchas cosas. Like, I don't know, he was so young y tenía mucho por delante. You know, like, watching his life unfold, casarse, tener hijos. Y le quitaron todo eso.
Yeah, en un podcast que se llama Intrigued Full Effect, which we will link as a source. But in this podcast, they interviewed Marty's grandma, and she expressed how much Marty was loved. Y también de todas las cosas que no pudo hacer, que hasta nunca se pudo subir a un avión y viajar.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just really upset that he didn't get to experience life.
It's really sad because, I mean, he was so young with so much to look forward to, like 22 años. Like, mm-hmm. Como dice mamá, ¿qué tanto son 22 años, you know? Su vida de él apenas comenzaba. And it honestly really sucks that because of a love triangle gone bad, like, that cost him his life. Mm-hmm. And Shania was selfish for putting Marty in that situation.
Exactly. La familia no pudo traer a Marty de regreso a casa con vida. Pero gracias a Dios, sí tuvieron respuestas sobre lo que le pasó a Marty esa noche que desapareció. Y yo creo que también con esas respuestas y justicia pudieron tener un poco de paz.
Yeah, for sure, because I mean now, like, even if it's like not the best of news, you know, that he's gone, but at least his family now knows his whereabouts, you know?
Yeah.
It's like no more worrying about if he's okay or if he needs anything. John McRae was charged with second-degree murder while armed.
And Shania Davis was charged with 3 counts of accessory after the fact to first-degree murder, porque ella ayudó a esconder y destruir evidencia, y también por mentirle a la policía para poder evitar un castigo.
Mm.
And Wallace fue arrestado el octubre pasado por tener posesión de drogas y armas, pero nada conectado a Marty.
Solo era una cita. Muchos hacen esas citas, especialmente hoy en día. Conocer a una pareja o amigo por las redes sociales o aplicaciones como Plenty of Fish, which is the one Marty was using, es algo muy normal in our new norm. But we must always have our guards up and be aware and alert that just as much as there is good, there is also bad.
Like we said before, hay muchas cosas que pueden hacer para sentirse seguros. Mm-hmm. You being comfortable should always be a priority. Some of the things that you can do is ir a lugares públicos, manejar en su propio coche para poder decidir cuándo se va a acabar la cita.
Mm-hmm. También compartir locaciones y avisar a familiares y amigos. Just, again, to have someone in your life know the details. Trust me, I even screenshot the person's Facebook or Instagram and sent it to my friends.
Some people might think this is a bit over the top, but really there isn't anything over the top, or you shouldn't be ashamed of doing these extra things just to feel safe, porque uno nunca sabe.
Yeah, it's true. Never ever apologize for your safety. Thank you again for listening. Muchas gracias por escucharnos. It would mean a lot to us if you liked and share our episode. Por favor, compartan el episodio. You know, just so we can get this story across people. And not just this story, but also all the other cases that we've covered before and all the other cases that are to come. We would greatly appreciate that. And así estamos un poco más unidos en comunidad, you know?
Los esperamos aquí para la semana que entra. See y'all next Wednesday.
What's up, guys? This is the Unnoticed Podcast
with your host, George,
and your host, Ricardo, where we get straight into pop culture, true crime, conspiracies, and scary stories,
making you feel like you're right in the room with your homies.
And you can find the Unnoticed Podcast on all platforms.
And with that being said,
welcome back to the spot. Don't make it hot.
We love you,
even if you love us or not.
Ah. Clown Boys.